Well, good morning, church. It's good you're here, and it's good to see you. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving, and everyone's doing well. We got to see our granddaughter again. The nice thing that she was born a little bit before Thanksgiving, so we could go down there and see her a little then, and go back again and celebrate the birth of our first granddaughter. So we're excited and happy about that, and we just thank the Lord for that. It's good everyone's here today, and people traveled and got back, and it's great to see you. Scripture this morning is found in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. And we're going to read verses 13 through 20. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and he took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. This was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." Father, would you bless the reading and the proclamation of your word? Would you speak to your people? And we pray that we would rejoice in you, Lord, and in all you have done for us. We pray that you would draw us near to yourself and to one another. We pray that you'd speak life to those who have not yet put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ today. We ask you to move in our midst in a mighty way and do what only you can do in and through and among us. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If an economic collapse occurred today and you couldn't celebrate Christmas in the way many people celebrate Christmas, would you experience it? Probably you've seen the Christmas classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Stories built around the fact that Rudolph has a shiny red nose and glows. And because that shiny red nose glows, he's able to guide Santa's sleigh through a terrible snowstorm and save Christmas. Santa himself thinks, before he realizes Rudolph's special gift, that Christmas is going to have to be canceled. Now, I hate to disagree with such a high authority as Santa Claus, but nothing can stop Christmas from coming. Nothing can stop Christmas from coming. However, there are those who would steal the true meaning of Christmas from each of us if we will allow them. If we let them, we'll go through the whole season of Advent and Christmas, and we won't even understand and know what it's about, and we won't have the joy that believers should have in this season of remembering the incarnation of our Lord, the birth of Christ. We find a Christmas stealer early in the Gospels, in the book of Matthew, and the Christmas stealer we find is named King Herod. Now, there are many Herods in the New Testament, but this Herod, known as Herod the Great, was the first one mentioned, and by far he was the most powerful of the Herods. He was also the wickedest, even though many of his descendants came in a close second. He came to power about 30 years before the birth of Christ, and he died not long after Christ was born. He was insanely suspicious and absolutely wicked. He murdered anyone who was either his opponent for power or whom he had the slightest suspicion might be his opponent for power. He murdered his favorite wife, Mary Amney. You know, if that was his favorite wife, I'd hate to be number two, three, or four. But anyway, he murdered his favorite wife, Mary Amney. He murdered her mother. He murdered some of his sons and anyone else who opposed his power. Caesar Augustus said it would be better to be Herod's pig than to be his son, because he was a converted Jew, a Hasmonean Jew, and because of that, he didn't eat pork. So he said it's better to be his pig than his son. One of his final acts while he was suffering from an extremely painful and excruciating death, he ordered the collection of the leading citizens of Jerusalem, and he arrested them. And at his death, he ordered that they be killed. The reason? He said he knew no one would mourn his death, but he was determined that tears would be shed when he died. Now, Herod was a bad guy. Herod was a bad guy. So it's not hard to imagine this Herod, on hearing of the birth of a rival king, ordering the bloodthirsty killing of all the baby boys 2 years old and under. You know, a lot of people have questioned whether this happened because there's no historical record. But we got to remember, Bethlehem was not a big, bustling city. It wasn't hundreds or thousands of children, boys that he murdered. It was a small kind of a burg, a small village. And so Herod, it's not hard to imagine that he did this and tried before Christmas, before Christ ever grew up, he tried to steal and destroy Christmas. He tried to destroy Jesus Christ. But I want you to know something today. When you try to destroy what God's doing, when you try to destroy Jesus, you're the one that's going to be destroyed. But he stands as the first Christmas stealer. Now, there are nobody's able to stop Christmas from coming, but there are some who are going to steal its meaning from us if we'll let them. And so I want to just tell you about being careful about those who will rob the true meaning of Christmas from you today. First of all, Christmas stealers try to get us to focus on presents instead of persons. The focus of Christmas has become things. We just had Black Friday. Why is it called Black Friday? It's called Black Friday because retailers move from the red in their profits to the black because we spend so much money on the Friday after Thanksgiving. So it's Black Friday. I don't know about you, but I didn't participate in Black Friday. Doesn't seem like fun to me anyway. Tomorrow's Cyber Monday. So it's not enough we only have Black Friday. Now we have Cyber Monday. And all the Amazon and Walmart and Target and everybody that has any online retailing is going to try to get you to spend money to buy stuff on Cyber Monday, to buy presents. We try to make Christmas wonderful for those we love by giving presents. Sometimes we get out our credit cards and we charge stuff during one Christmas season that it will take us the whole year to pay off. I want to ask you something. What do you remember about the Christmases of your youth? What do you remember? Probably it doesn't have anything to do with a present you got. Maybe you'll remember one or two in your childhood, but probably it has very little to do with that. You know what I remember the Christmases of my youth? I had one brother and three sisters and two parents. And we would celebrate Christmas. We'd get in the car. We'd look at Christmas lights. We'd go to my grandmother's. And while we were in the car, and there's seven of us in this car, you know, we don't do that today. And it wasn't a minivan or even a, you know, it was a car. And we were all crammed in this car, and we would look at Christmas lights, we would go to my grandmother's, and we would sing Christmas carols. Some of us could sing, some of us couldn't. My dad was a singer, but he could not sing at all. But my dad would sing to you. He didn't care if you didn't like it or not. He just, you know, I'm sure he's in heaven now. He's got a great voice, but it wasn't too good on the earth. But we would sing and we would praise the Lord and we would enjoy the time together as a family. I remember even after we were kind of grown, a couple of my sisters were married. We all tried to cram in a car and do that, you know, going to my grandmother's. And, you know, it was pretty crowded then, but anyway. See, that's what I remember. I remember the relationships, the people. I remember being with others. I remember my grandparents. And I remember going, you know, I was raised a Roman Catholic. I remember going to midnight mass. And I remember all of those kind of things that happened. I remember persons, and I miss those persons at the Christmas season too. If the greatest memory you have of Christmas is like the little boy in the Christmas story that's shown 24 hours before Christmas, of getting some present, I think you missed it. I really do. You see, we get so focused on presents that if someone gives us something and we forgot them, we get depressed. There might come a time where none of us are able to celebrate Christmas in that way. It might be like my parents talked about getting oranges and apples in their stockings when they were little. But that doesn't mean Christmas will mean less. It could mean more. You see, don't be robbed of Christmas by focusing on presents instead of persons. You see, Christmas is about relationship. Our relationship with God was so important that He broke into history, that God became man and dwelt among us. And God sent, God the Son came, God the Father sent God the Son to reconcile us to Himself. You see, Christmas is about relationship. Focus, first of all, on knowing and loving Him this Christmas. Knowing and loving Jesus. See, Christmas, if you don't get Jesus this Christmas, you don't have Christmas. Focus on Him. Focus on enjoying the family that God has given you. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends. Focus on enjoying them. You see, God wants us not only to be reconciled to Himself, He wants us to be reconciled to each other. He wants us to enjoy each other and build each other up. And you know, life is changing. The relationships we take for granted today, we might not have tomorrow. We might not have tomorrow. Focus on the persons in your life that God has given you to love and who you love. Focus on those persons. Focus on helping other persons. You know, we walk into the stores and we see the Salvation Army bell ringer. And do we just walk by or do we give? You know, they do a lot of good things in our community, in every community I've ever been associated with. We have an emphasis during Christmas time on the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. And we have some prayer guides at the back table. This is the week of prayer. And so beginning today, there's missionaries that you can pray for and it will take you through the whole week. And during the time we take up the offering, there's some envelopes there. If you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions through East Madison, 100% of that money goes to international missions. It doesn't even go to overhead because our regular offerings, cooperative program offerings, a part of that goes and supports the overhead that it takes to do missions. 100% of this goes to the field in some way. And when you give to that, you're giving to an offering that takes the gospel about God sending His Son to reconcile the world to Himself so that others can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Christmas is about people. It's not about stuff. It's not about stuff. Christmas is about Jesus, about the Son of God becoming man and dwelling among us. So our focus needs to be on persons, not presents this Christmas. Secondly, Christmas dealers try to get us to focus on the rush instead of the rest. Now, how many of us rush around during Christmas season, and the day it's over, We're elated because we can slow down. It's been too busy. We've just gone and gone and gone and gone. We rush around trying to get all the presents bought and the parties attended and the Christmas programs seen, that we never slow down enough to remember and think with Charles Wesley when he wrote this line, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." Think about that. You see, we rush around and rush around. Do you know anybody that's not busy in our world? Have you ever asked anybody, you know, "Well, how's it going?" "Oh, I'm really busy." Almost everybody says that. My father-in-law retired a few years ago, and he tells me he's busy. He doesn't know how he got all the stuff done now that he gets done when he used to work. So we live in a fast-paced, rushing, busy culture. You see, sometimes we need to understand that everything that we think is important is really essential. Not everything that we rush around to do, we need to rush around to do. I love that great theologian and philosopher, Irma Bombeck. When she found out she was dying with cancer, she wrote a column and she said, "If I had it to do, if I had my life to live over again." Listen to someone who learned that rest was more important than the rush. Listen to what she said. "If I had my life to live over, I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go in a holding pattern if I weren't there for the day. I would have burned the pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over to dinner even if the carpet was stained or the sofa faded. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would have shared more of the responsibility carried by my husband. I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about the grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching life. I would never have bought anything just because it was practical, wouldn't show soil, or was guaranteed to last a lifetime. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment and realizing the wonderment growing inside was the chance in life to assist God in a miracle. When my kids kissed me impetuously, I would never have said later, 'Now go get washed up for dinner.' There would have been more 'I love yous,' more 'I'm sorry's.' But mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute, look at and really see it, live it, and never give it back. Stop sweating the small stuff. Don't worry about who doesn't like you, who has more, who's doing what. Instead, let's cherish the relationships we have with those who do love us. Let's think about what God has blessed us with and what we are doing each day to promote ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, as well as spiritually. Life is too short to let it pass you by. We only have one shot at this, and then it's gone." You see, some things can be left undone. I would rather do one thing a day that the Lord was in than 100 things that He wasn't in. Someone said, "If Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy." See, during this season, as individuals and families and as East Madison, let's be still before God. Let's know that He is God. Let's focus on all He has done for us and focus on what really matters. You see, once a moment goes by, you don't have it anymore. You can't use it the way you could have used it before. Don't be robbed of Christmas by focusing on the rush instead of the rest. Finally, Christmas dealers try to get us to focus on Kris Kringle instead of Jesus Christ. Don't focus on Kris Kringle. Focus on the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. We've let the fantasy become the focus instead of the reality of Christ. Now, I'm not anti-fantasy. I'm not Scrooge that says you shouldn't do all that stuff. That's not where I'm coming from. But I do think when the fantasy becomes the focus and the fantasy becomes an idol, there is something wrong. The tail is wagging the dog, especially in our culture and even among Christian people. Christ is the reality of Christmas. Jesus is the reality of Christmas. And our focus needs to be on Him. There's something wrong when our children know more about reindeer than they do about Bethlehem. You see, God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the Scripture says, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God became man. And just like Mark Lowry said, when you kiss that little baby, you kiss the face of God. Wow. God became one of us to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Corrie ten Boom, many of you know her. She spent some time in a concentration camp. All her family died except she survived. And she spent many years speaking all around the world. And she was at a prison, and she really wasn't looking forward to speaking at this prison. As the young woman sang, the noise was very, kept growing. And as the young man before her prayed, it grew worse. And so Corrie got up, and basically, to make herself heard, she shouted out, "When I was alone 4 months in a prison cell." And when she said that, the place grew stone quiet. Because the men there saw in her someone who knew what they were going through. You see, Christmas reminds us that God knows. God knows what we're going through. Now, He knew before, but He knows. He became one of us. Christ was tempted, the Scripture says, in every way like we are tempted, yet without sin. Don't lose the wonder of focusing on Christ, that God would become man. And where was He born? Not in a palace, but in a barn. And His first crib was a cattle feeding trough. Don't lose the wonder that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Who came to greet Him? Was it the kings and the leaders of the world? No, it was the shepherds, the most despised of the culture in that day. Don't lose the wonder that the babe that was born in Bethlehem was not born to remain a babe, but He was born to die for us and to rise again so that we would have eternal life. You see, Christians ought to be the most joyous, the happiest people of all during this season, because we know what it's all about. We know what it's all about. And we worship the Lord, the God who became man, who is Jesus, and who is Lord of all, and who one day will return. Don't be robbed of Christmas by focusing on the fantasy instead of the reality of Jesus. The Grinch tried to steal Christmas from the little Who's. He stole the presents, and he stole the decorations, and he stole the food. And he thought he had stolen Christmas until he woke up on Christmas morning to the caring of the little Who's down below him in Whovesville. You might think I watch too much TV, but anyway. You see, they're Christmas stealers who will try to take and rob you of the joy of this time of year. They'll try to get you to focus on presents instead of persons, on the rush instead of the rest. They'll try to get you to focus on Kris Kringle instead of Christ. But don't let them. Don't let them. Know what it's all about. Know if you are a Christian that you're following the incarnated God and that He lives in you and that He's coming back again. And if you're not a Christian, don't miss Christmas by missing Jesus. Receive Him. Believe in Him. Put your life in His hands. Trust Him and follow Him beginning today. You see, He died and all your sins are forgiven through Him. They can't be forgiven any other way. But in Him, they all can be forgiven if you will believe and receive Him into your life. Follow Him as Lord and seek to follow Him as Lord. None of us do that perfectly. We never will. But He will save you if you will call on Him and you will believe in Him. Don't miss it this year. Don't miss the opportunities that you will have to make a difference in the lives of others who need to know what it's all about either. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that it's about You. Jesus, it's about You. Lord, You loved us so much that You paid the ultimate price that we could be made right with You and our sins could be forgiven and we could live for the glory of Your name. Oh Lord, thank You. And help us to adore and worship You during this season of the year. Father, I pray for any who celebrate the holiday, but they don't really know the One who it's about. I pray that today they would believe and receive in You into their lives. And they would pass from death to life. And they would begin to follow You. Lord, I pray for their souls, for their salvation. I ask You to work. I pray for Your people, Lord. Lord, there are those who will listen as we share the gospel, as we share about Jesus and all He's done. Help us to be wise and whimsical in the way we share, but help us to proclaim that Christ has come, that to us this day a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Help us to live it and to proclaim it. Father, may we be the most joyous of people during the time of celebration of Your coming to save us from our sins. It is in Your name that I pray. Amen.